Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Today's going to be a really great day because we are continuing our series entitled Dreams, Detours, and Delays. Dreams, Detours, and Delays. And what we've been doing is we've been looking at it's an almost unbelievable story, the Bible story of a man found in the Old Testament by the man named Joseph. And really we've used his life as a guide for this series. Now Joseph was a dreamer. And not only was he a dreamer, but he had the boldness to share and to speak out his dreams. And so while Joseph was favored and he was loved by his father, his dreams and future destiny actually caused his own brothers to hate him. Joseph had 11 other brothers, and he was hated by his other brothers. Their hatred was actually so deep that they plotted to kill and eliminate him and his dream. And so after this hatred was birthed, they made plans and they threw him in a pit. They left him to die. And then after encountering a group of traveling traders, his brothers then decided it would be better. Why just let him sit there and die in a pit? Let's pull him out and sell him as a slave. And then they took off the beautiful coat that his father had given him, and they took this beautiful coat and they killed an animal and dipped the coat in the blood, and they took it to their father and told him that Joseph had been killed by a wild animal. How many of you are thinking, man, my family doesn't look so bad now, right? And so in week one, we talked about how to identify and how to pursue the dreams that God has placed inside of us. And then last week, we discussed the fact that even though they are frustrating, detours are part of the process that God uses to refine us. Regardless of the circumstance, what's so interesting is that Joseph lived his life, though, no matter what position he was in such a manner that those around him could see the blessing and the hand of God on his life. And so today I want to talk to you about the season of a God-directed delay. We talked about detours last week. We're going to talk about God-directed delays this week. I mean, a detour is one thing, and I think last week when I asked the question, no one raised their hand saying, I love detours when you're driving down the road, but a detour is one thing because at least we're still moving forward. We're making some progress. We're doing something, but what about those seasons in our lives when we're just stuck? We're just spinning our wheels. We're not getting anywhere. How many of you ever had a time in life where it just seems like you're just stuck, right? I think we've all been there. Nobody here likes waiting, right? Is anybody here says, man, my favorite thing to do is wait in line, right? Anybody here? I mean, everybody ever sat in a waiting room at the doctor's office, the DMV, TSA? Oh, come on, I'm preaching now, right? The car rental counter at the airport, right? Woodman's, come on somebody, right? Those places can be so frustrating. The poet Oscar Wilde said it this way, if you are not too long, I will wait here for you all my life. Is there anybody here who ever waited in line so long that you just left? Oh, come on, I know some of you have gone through the drive-thru and you were so mad you just pulled out even after they took your order. Right? Thank you for the honest people in church. The rest of you will have prayer after the message, right? An older gentleman was at the clinic waiting to be called back for his doctor's appointment. And after a considerable amount of time had passed, he grew tired of waiting. And so he went up to the receptionist and he told the receptionist, you know what? I'm just going to go home and die of natural causes. At a packed Delta Airline check-in station, ticket agents were doing the best they could to process each passenger as quickly as possible, and a man who was towards the end of this long line was extremely animated. Anybody ever stood in line with someone that's animated with their huffing? You know, just flopping things around, just all the frustration was pouring out of him. And after about 15 minutes, he marched up to the counter and he demanded that he be given his boarding pass. Trying to remain calm, the ticket agent responded, sir, As you can see here, there are many passengers that are in front of you. We are doing our best to get through people through as quickly as possible. Would you please just get back into your place in line? Outraged, the man growled at the ticket agent and he said, "Do you know who I am?" The agent turned, looked at him, picked up the public address system microphone and said this:
"There's a man at the Delta ticket counter who doesn't know who he is. Anyone who is able to identify this man is asked to please step forward. Thank you."
Nobody likes waiting. Even for the little things that we encounter in life. And this makes it so easy to understand why we get so uncomfortable during the God-ordained delays that we face. But I want you to understand that a delay is not a sign of God's denial. Just like detours, delays are part of our growing process. They're an important part of what God uses to mold and to shape and to refine and prepare us to achieve the dream that He's placed inside of us. And what you'll discover as you walk through life is that there will be people and there will be situations in your life that are dream killers. Just like Joseph's brothers, there will be those who will try to kill your dreams before you even get started. There will be situations that will arise that will try to get you off course during the seasons of detours and delays, because dream killers will be there in every part of your life's journey. They're going to be there. You're going to face them. And so this morning, I'm going to start by sharing 6 keys to holding on to your dreams. If you've got your sermon outline, I encourage you to pull it out, follow along with us, take some notes here. 6 keys to holding on to your dream. Here's the first one. Ready? The number one thing is this: be alert. Be alert. And I know this is a little bit of a difficult thing to hear, but there will be friends. You will have coworkers, you will even have at times family members who will turn against you when you begin to dream. Not everyone who is by your side today, listen, is called to make the entire journey with you. Except for your spouse. That's another message. We'll have that in February, right? It's important that we are vigilant and we are aware of those people who are around us. In Matthew 10, chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus tells us, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." And so we've got to be alert to what is around us. Here's the second one. Number two, we need to expect opposition. Expect opposition. Listen, don't be taken by surprise. Obstacles are going to come. It's not going to be easy. And Jesus said in John 16, 33, "Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows." Let me just pause there. There's so many Christians who think that, well, I said yes to Jesus, everything should be easy from this point on. No. Jesus said, "Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world." Listen, don't stop your dream just to pacify the desires and wishes of others. Expect opposition. Here's the third one. Number three is this: it's protect your dreams. Protect your dreams. Feeding your dream may mean starving a negative relationship in your life. You need to distance yourself from those who are dream killers. 1 Corinthians 15, 33 tells us, "Bad company corrupts good character." Some have even said it this way: you are the average. You are the sum of the 5 people who are closest to you. So take a moment, think about who are the 5 people that are closest to you. You will only become the average of those people. And so you must realize that those who turned on you or sold you out were hindrances to your dream and to your destiny. And so we've got to learn to distance ourselves from dream killers. We need to protect our dreams. Here's the fourth one, number four. It's this: nourish right relationships. Nourish right relationships. And that's why I want everyone in this church, if you consider the Lifeway your church home, I want you to sign up to be in a life group this fall. They're going to begin the week of September 9th, starting next week. You'll be able to sign up for them. It's also another big reason that we want everyone here to serve on our dream team here at the Lifeway Church. And listen, it's not because we have too much to do. In fact, our dream team did an amazing job. They worked hard all week getting this experience, this environment that you're sitting in right now here this morning, getting it all set up for you this morning. But we want you in a life group and we want you serving on a team. Listen, because all of us need right, godly influences in our lives. Hebrews 10, 24, 25 says this, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works." Verse 25, "And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." And listen, every day that we live, we are closer to the return of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ coming back for his church to take us away. But listen, because you're going to encounter a lot of dream killers in the world, we need to surround ourselves. We need to be surrounded by right relationships. And so you might be sitting here saying, "Well, Pastor, you know, I've got my family. I can't really change them. I mean, that's the family I was born into. Well, how do we get in the right relationships? How do we build right relationships?" Well, I'm glad you asked the question this morning. Ready? Be in church every time the doors are open. It's 70 minutes a week. I mean, some of us grew up going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Friday night. Listen, it's a big deal. For, like, the average American right now that's a Christian goes to church 1.4 times a month. Listen, if you want healthy relationships, that's not enough. So we need to get ourselves in. We need to get into a life group. We need to serve on a team. We need to get connected. We need to go all in. Be around people who will motivate you to serve others. People who will motivate you to pursue your dreams. Nourish the right relationships. Here's the next one, number five. Number five is this: stay on course. Stay on course. No matter the difficulties, no matter what you may encounter, I challenge you to stay on course. Hebrews 12, 1, the Apostle Paul is writing and he tells us, "Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us." It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. We have a great couple here this morning. Actually, I see Jim. Is Deanna here today? Yeah, somewhere. Deanna, maybe she's there. I see Deanna there in the back. The Marquezes are amazing people. I don't know if you've had a chance to meet them. But as I was working on this message this week and I wrote this verse down, immediately their names came to mind. And it's just so cool the way that God's providence works, the way he orchestrates things and puts things together. The Marquezes were one of the, I think there's only three people left besides my family that were original part of the original launch team when we first started the church. And they were one of the first ones who said, "Hey, sign us up. We're in. We're going to help and we're gonna work and serve." But what was crazy about it is 22 years ago when Shyla and I were married, they pastored a church in Key West, Florida. And shortly after we were married, we went down to Key West, Florida, and we worked in their church. And so now 20 years later, here we are back in Milwaukee, and now they're here and they're serving and they're getting involved, and they would tell you they've walked with God a long time. It's not a sprint. It's a journey. It's a marathon. There's some difficult seasons that they've had to walk through. And this week, Jim and Deanna called me, and I was working on my message, and they were so excited because they wanted to talk about, "Hey, would it be all right if we hosted a life group? And this is what our dream, this is what our hope is, and this is what our passion is. Do you think that would be our..." And they're just pumped up, right? After all these years, when someone should say, "You know what, I've done enough for God. I've pastored enough people. I should just sit back." But listen, here's a couple here that they have run with endurance the race that God has set before him. Thank you for your example. This word endurance carries with it the thought that God enables us as believers to remain or to endure under the challenges that he allots us in our lives. So we need to stay on course. Here's the last one, number six. We need to press through the pain. Press through the pain. Pain is the price tag of achieving the dream that God has called us to. And while there will be pain in the journey, it's not nearly as painful as living your life, not pursuing it, and at your last days, looking back and thinking, man, I really messed up. The pain of regret is way worse than the pain of discipline. 1 Corinthians 3:4 tells us he comforts us in all our troubles. Watch this. So that our troubles come for a reason. Here's the reason. So that we can comfort others when they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. And there's this great paradox in our spiritual journey. The struggles and the pain, they help mold us to be more like Jesus. Pain is the very thing that propels us to grow and to move into our destiny. The detours in life, the delays in our lives are essential parts of the process. And as we will see in the story of Joseph, without the pain that he had endured, he would have never seen the dream come to pass. He would have never seen the dream fulfilled. And so last week when we left off at the story of Joseph, he had been thrown into a pit. Then the brothers pulled him out. They sold him into slavery to a man by the name of Potiphar. And scripture told us that Potiphar could see God's hand on his life and could also see that he himself was being blessed because of Joseph's favor with God. And what Joseph had been through up to this point really would have caused most of us in this room to just tap out and say, I'm giving up. You know, I've been accused, I've been hated, I've been thrown in a pit, I've been sold as a slave. God, I'm done. I don't know what you were smoking when you gave me that dream, because obviously you weren't talking to me. God, I give up. Most of us would have been in that same place, but let's pick up the story now. Back to our story. Genesis chapter 39, verse 6 tells us that Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man. Now, I don't know, sometimes when I read scripture, I'm like, well, that's sort of weird. You know, just like going through while he's thrown in a pit, he sold a slave. But Joseph was handsome and very well built. Watch this, though. Very next verse, verse 7. And Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. Come and sleep with me, she demanded. But Joseph refused. Look, he told her, my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. And I just want to pause here and just point something out. Because of Potiphar, Potiphar had a position of power. He was a man of influence. He had a position of authority in the kingdom of Egypt. And so it's very, very likely that Potiphar's wife was not an ugly woman. Chances are, because of his money and his authority and all that he had, chances are she was a very attractive woman. So here's Joseph, this well-built, strong man, being persuaded by an attractive woman. And so I think it would be so easy for us, if we were in Joseph's shoes, to say, you know what, God? After all I've been through, after everything my brothers have put me through, after the pit, after being sold in slaves, I think I deserve some me time. Oh, you laugh. I ain't the only one who's taking me time here, right? But listen, here's the first lesson from the story. Number one, so important, be ready for the test. There will be times in your journey, you can take it to the bank, you can deposit this, because it is going to happen. There will be times in your journey that your character will be tested. A distraction, a choice will come that will test whether or not you will stand up for truth, whether or not you will stand up for what is right. And so listen, I want to warn you this morning, be ready for the test. So many people have lost so much because they failed when the time of testing comes. And so I'm imploring you this morning, please don't sacrifice your dream on the altar of temporary pleasure. Even in the detour, it's so easy to get distracted. Yeah, it may not be the exact direction we wanted to go, but things start going well and God is, you know, starts blessing our life. He starts blessing your business or starts blessing your career. And it's easy in the times of detour to take our eyes off of the ultimate prize and destination. We've got to remain focused. That's one of the reasons we encourage everyone to soap each day. SOAP is an acronym that describes our Bible reading and journaling activity in your service guide. Because we start a new month this week, there's a SOAP journaling guide. I encourage you to take this out. And basically, this takes 15 minutes a day. It'll be the best thing that you'll do every day. This will completely transform your spiritual life. All you do is you read the chapter of the day that's on here. So on September 1st, it's Proverbs 26, you read Proverbs 26, whatever verse jumps out at you, you write that verse on your SOAP journal. We've got free journals in the back for you after service, and then you write observation. This is what I think God is speaking to me through this verse. And then application, how do I apply this verse to my life today? So you write a sentence or two and then a prayer. And I tell you what, if you will do this, it will completely transform your life. Listen, it's so essential that we take the time, that we slow down in our busy lives, take the time to hear from God, to be warned by the gentle nudging of His Spirit when we are headed down the wrong path. And so I want to encourage you, be ready for the test. Genesis 39 verse 10 tells us this. She kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day. This wasn't just a one-time thing, day after day, but he refused to sleep with her, and watch this, and he kept out of her way as much as possible. Here's a second lesson we can learn from the story. Number two is remove yourself from the temptation. Remove yourself. Put some distance between you and whatever it is that you are struggling with. Can I just speak really open and honestly to you here this morning? If it's pornography, put an accountability system and filter on your vices, on your devices. Some of you maybe struggle with this so bad, maybe you just need to get a flip phone. I think they still sell them. They call them burner phones now. If it's alcohol, stay away from the bars, parties whose only purpose is just for people to get drunk and hammered. Stay away from the liquor department. Listen, I've talked with some people who are struggling, and they'll tell me things like, you know, I just don't seem to have what it takes to overcome in this area. But when you take a step back and you look at their life, they have completely surrounded themselves with whatever their issue is. And that whatever their issue is that's causing them to fall and stumble, it's all over their life. They complain about not achieving the dream, but they surround themselves with the very thing that's preventing it. And I know this is old-fashioned preaching this morning, but if we're ever going to achieve the dreams that God has placed in our lives, that God has called us to, we need to separate ourselves to God. 2 Corinthians 6:16, what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? In other words, they don't belong in the same place. They don't belong together. For we are the temple of the living God. So I want you to know that when you say yes to Jesus, you become the temple of God. This room right here, this is not the temple of God. We, flesh and blood, that have said yes to Jesus, we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And everybody's like, amen, I like that part. That's a good verse, Pastor. Watch verse 17. Therefore, in other words, because of what I've done inside of you, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And if we're not careful or intentional, our surroundings will begin to redefine our character, and we'll live a life submitted to sin. We'll live a life daily falling into sin over and over. Listen, if you forget who you are, if you forget whom you belong to, you will let compromise begin to enter into your heart. And so there'll be tests. Every single one of us in this room, we struggle with something. It's important that you know what it is and do whatever it takes to get as far away from that thing as possible. Joseph realized that it was his actions, not her temptation, that would kill his dream. Everybody wants to blame somebody else. Joseph understood that it was his actions, not her temptation, that would destroy his purpose. So Joseph avoided this woman, but one day, when no one was around, she came into the room where he was, and she grabbed him by the coat as she made her advance. Joseph once again refused, and he pulled away, and in pulling away, he tore himself away from her, leaving his coat in her hand. And as he did this, the woman cried out, "Rape! Rape! He's trying to rape me." So Potiphar hears what happened, and he has Joseph thrown into prison. Think about this. Put your life in the story of Joseph this morning. It's almost unbelievable. First, the hatred of his own brothers, then the pit, then being sold as a slave. All the while doing nothing wrong, Joseph was honorable. He was committed to his master, only to be thrown in jail for something that he did not do. But as you read through the story once again, you'll see that God was with Joseph. And even in jail, for something he didn't do, he gained favor with the warden. And before long, he was given charge over everything that happened in the prison. Genesis 39, 23, the warden had no more worries, because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. Here's the next lesson that we can learn from the story. Number three is, be faithful in the delay. Be faithful in the delay. By this point, if I was Joseph, I would have given up. I would have thrown my hands up and I'd have yelled out, "Seriously, God? Are you even real? Is this some kind of a sick joke?" Yet Joseph's dream was so alive. His calling from God was so established in his mind that he was still able to succeed while in prison. "God, I may not understand the seasons or the places that you are sending me, but Lord, I trust you. If you are with me, then there is something here, God, that I am supposed to accomplish and learn along the way." Listen, don't get bitter. Don't get angry in the season that you're in. Just be faithful during the time of delay. While Joseph was in prison, two of the king's officials had done something that had upset the king, also known as Pharaoh. And as punishment, they were imprisoned. And so these two men were put to Joseph's care. And one of the men was Pharaoh's cupbearer, and the other was his baker, the king's baker. And so these two men were put around Joseph. Joseph was responsible for watching over them. And one evening, both of these men had very unsettling dreams, to the point that when the scripture says that when Joseph got up the next morning and when they were talking, he could visibly see that something was wrong, that something had bothered him. And so after some time, these men shared their dreams with Joseph, and God gave Joseph the interpretation or the meaning of both of these dreams. And so the first one tells him his dream, and so Joseph tells him, "Hey, in just 3 days, listen, cupbearer, you're going to be put back into your position of service. The king's going to call for you, and everything's going to be the way it was." And so, of course, the baker was excited because he had gotten, you know, the cupbearer had gotten this good report, and so the baker tells him his dream and says, "Well, what does mine mean?" And so Joseph told him, "Well, in 3 days, you're going to be executed." 3 days later, exactly what Joseph had told the men would happen came to pass exactly the way he said it. Then tucked at the very end of Genesis chapter 40, and the very first phrase of chapter 41 is really a sad passage. If most of us were in Joseph's life, this would be very sad. This is what it says, verse 23. Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, however, forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought. The very next words of the story, Genesis 41:1, 2 full years later. 2 years pass. "God, I've been faithful for so long. I even helped these other dudes out. Why the delay, God? How come I can interpret the dreams of others, but my dream still makes no sense? Here's the last thing I want to point out from this portion of the story. Don't just be faithful in the delay, but number four, find favor. Find favor in the delay. Sometimes to find favor with those who matter, you will have to sacrifice the favor of those who don't. If Joseph had sought and been willing to compromise to get the favor of his brothers, if Joseph had been willing to compromise to get the favor of Potiphar's wife, listen, he never would have seen his dreams come to pass. Never forget that if God is with you in the hard place, there is always a purpose and a reason to be found in it. So please, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. I encourage you, just press in and work at finding the purpose. And here's what many people don't understand. You must learn to succeed where you are right now if you ever hope to get to where you want to go. Success in one place is often what opens the door of opportunity in the next place. The key to the next level is this level. I know we got some 80s and 90s kids in here, right? You know, the old Nintendo 64. Come on, anybody? Any Contra players here? Yeah, Super Mario, right? Listen, you can't go to the next level till what? You finish the one that you're on, right? And that's the way that life works, is that God is challenging us and he's putting us on one level and he's saying, hey, I got some things I need for you to learn, and I've got some things that I need you to grow through, and I got some things that you, some steps that you need to take, and so we're looking for the end destination, but God's calling us to make one step today. Do the thing today that he's called you to. So many people want the next level when they haven't been faithful on this one. You need to learn to flourish wherever God has planted you and placed you in the moment. You might think your dreams hinge on where you are, but listen, God's dreams don't manifest by location. They manifest by habitation. When the Lord is with you, favor is with you. And when you have God's favor, listen, success isn't far behind. I want you to understand this. God's favor doesn't come to produce the things that you and I want. It comes rather to produce what he wants. We don't earn God's favor. It's freely given to us for a specific purpose. And listen, that purpose is to serve others. It's to serve others. The favor of God and the fulfillment of your dream will require the servant inside of you to be awakened. Jesus said in Matthew 23:11, the greatest among you must be a servant. If you want to see God do incredible things in your life, then it's essential that we learn to take on the posture of a servant. Here's Joseph. He's sitting in prison, serving time for something that he wasn't guilty of. And along comes these two men with a need. And so what does Joseph do without hesitation? He tells them, hey, this is what God can do. And he serves these two men. How painful it must have been to serve and explain somebody else's dream while his own was going unanswered. I want you to hear me this morning. The delays that you're facing, the delays that you're going through, the place that you're stuck in right now, it is not God's denial. Some of us need to learn to stop the constant fussing and whining about where we're at and be quiet long enough and learn to hear and listen to the still small voice of a loving heavenly Father. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 28:20. And be sure of this, I am with you always. That means the good times, he's with us always. That means in the bad times, he's with us always. That means in the detours, he's with us always. That means in the delays, he's with us always. When you're in the pit, he's with you. When you're in prison falsely, he's with you. God is with us always, even to the end of the age. God is with you. God is for you. And I think some of us need to cry out with the lyrics of the song we sang just a few minutes ago. I need you, Lord, to soften my heart. Open my eyes, God, to see that you're shaping my life, all that I am, all that I'm going through, even these places I don't understand that don't make sense. Lord, I surrender it all to you. Give me faith, God, to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, but Lord, I give you my life. As I close this morning, 2 weeks ago, I shared the story of the dream, the vision that God gave me while we were sitting in the recording studio. God had showed me all of these pictures of the great things that he was going to do through my life. 13 years have come by, and I've only seen two of those pictures come to pass. But guess what? Since that time, I've had my share of detours. There's been so many things, there's been so many places that at the time seemed to make no sense. But guess what? Through each of them, I've learned to put my head down and just work as hard as I could. And guess what? God has proven himself to be faithful in our lives over and over and over and over again. I've shared bits and pieces of this story before. In 2010, we moved to Palm Bay, Florida to plant the Lifeway Church. Or at least that's what I thought. And it turned out to be one of those seasons where everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong. I remember the moving company pulled up to our house, loaded everything in. They had walked through, did all their measurements and their calculations and said, all right, this is what it's going to cost for us to do your move. And so they came in, did all of that. We get down to Florida, I call them, say, hey, where are you guys at? Oh, it's going to take us a little longer to get here. And, oh, by the way, this is going to be $4,000 more than what we told you. And if I wanted our stuff, I was going to have to pay it. Remember the first night we got to our new home? It was a hot, humid day, probably 30 degrees hotter than it is here now. I know some of you are sweating right now. Walk in, go to the thermostat, turn the air conditioning on, and nothing. That was how our move to Florida started. A few weeks later, a bunch of stuff was stolen out of our vehicle one night while our car was parked in the driveway, literally 8 steps away from our front door. I've shared this in the past. For 1 year, I could not get a job doing anything. I can't tell you how many applications I put in. We invested our life savings, our entire retirement money, the savings we had put away to buy a house. And at the end of 1 year, everything that we had was gone. I was so convinced that God had called us to plant, but nothing went right. And looking back over that season, I now know that it was a God-ordained delay. It wasn't the wrong dream. There were just some areas that God needed to mend and some areas he needed to bring to my attention and needed to fix in my life. During this season, God revealed to me how broken I was in so many areas. Spiritually, I'm just being honest, spiritually, I was very unhealthy. And so this season in Florida, when there was no church, there was nothing that I had built my identity around, all those things were stripped away, no church services, no meetings, no worship team rehearsals. I wasn't getting up every Sunday to lead worship. All of that was stripped away. And when all of that was gone, God began to let me realize and begin to show how my identity was involved in doing the things of God, but I didn't really have a relationship with him. It was also during this delay that God began to reveal how fractured our marriage was, and I began to realize that I had unintentionally done some things that had severely hurt our relationship. And so Shiloh and I had to walk through some very painful times, and there were days that I wondered if we would even be able to make it. Looking back now, 8 years later, knowing what I know now, had the church started in Florida, first of all, none of you would be here this morning. But second of all, we never would have had the strength to make it through the tough times of not only being a pastor, but planting a church. Listen, God's delays are not his denials. The pain was going to cause us, and the pain led us to grow, and it gave us strength and the ability to one day pursue the dream. All these years later, now we're able to sit with couples who are struggling in their marriage, and I can look them in the eye and I can say, hey guys, the reason I know you can make it is because we did. My pain, my struggles, my detours, my delays, all of these things, they grew me and shaped me and made me the man that I am today. And if you'll trust God, they'll be an integral part of your story. And so if you find yourself in a season of delay, don't curse it. Embrace it. Learn through it, and he will bring you through it, and you'll be stronger and more prepared to be the person that God has called you to be. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving around, I believe that right now the Spirit of God is gently convicting some of you right now to pay attention to some of the things that are happening during your time of delay. Some of you have not nourished the right relationship. Some of you have not stayed the course. Some of you have not pressed through the pain. Some of you have not been ready. You failed the test when it's come. Some of you have not removed yourself from the frustration. Whatever point in this message has spoken to you this morning, right now I want you to begin to talk to God and just give that thing to him. There are others here. The first thing that you need to do is give your life to Jesus. You need to repent of your sins. You need to say, God, I'm sorry for the things I've done. And listen, when you say that, Scripture tells us that he is faithful and he's just to forgive us. And so if you're ready to make that decision, if you're ready to say yes to Jesus, maybe you've drifted far away from him, if you're tired of carrying your own sin and you want to commit everything to Jesus, every head bowed, every eye closed, but if that's where you are, I want to pray for you. So would you just lift your hand so I know who I'm praying for? Is there anybody here who says, you know what, God, I'm ready today to say yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, I thank you for the power of your word, and I thank you for these individuals who raised their hands. Lord God, I pray, Jesus, that you would take their sins, that you would wash them. Lord God, that you would purify them. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us new life today, Lord. We give our hearts and lives to you. Lord Jesus, I pray for others that are in this auditorium who maybe they've walked through some painful seasons. Maybe they're currently going through something really difficult. Lord God, I pray that right now that you would give them the strength to endure, even like Joseph, who was falsely sold into slavery, even like Joseph, who was imprisoned for something that he didn't do. Lord God, would you allow us to still be used in whatever place, in whatever season that we're in? Lord God, I pray that you would rebirth in somebody's mind who's given up and thinks that their dream has passed them. Lord, it's a lie from the enemy. Lord Jesus, today we commit to pursue your will, to pursue your way, all over again, Jesus. I recommit my life to you. God, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Lord, let my life matter for something. Let my life make an eternal difference. And Lord God, through us collectively as a church, as we pray this prayer, Lord God, that our community would be altered because of the Lifeway Church and the lives of those that attend here. Let us change the world. Lord God, you didn't save us to come sit in a padded seat on a Sunday morning. You saved each and every one of us to make a difference. Help us discover what that is. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.